Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon tonight is Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Three thoughts. First, God's will. Secondly, God's revealed will. And thirdly, the practice of Thy will be done. So Thy will be done. First of all, God's will. Secondly, God's revealed will. And thirdly, the practice of Thy will be done. Well, tonight, the third petition of the seven petitions in the prayer the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught his disciples from all time, ages, and places. And you probably know, right? The salutation or the opening words of this prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. These are these opening words. We begin our prayer with these words, Our Father, which art in heaven. And indeed, you are not mistaken. You hear the tone of wonder. A Father in heaven. It says, with that prodigal son, he ran away from his father, spent all his good, lost everything, and came to the conclusion that only one way remained. Only one way remained, and that way was going back to his father. And he went back to discover that his father stood at a lookout. His father was looking out for him all that time that son was away from home, spending all that money. That father stood there waiting for his son. Our father. Amazing. These opening words of this prayer wants to bring us to him who created us, to him from whence all things proceed. He is the beginning of all things. Without him, there is nothing. Our Father, which are in heaven. And then comes that first prayer, Hallowed be thy name. And we get an even more clear and bright picture and a fuller understanding of the Heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. He has so many names. Hallowed be thy name, who thou art in thy essence, in thy being, in all who thou art. Hallowed be thy name. There is just one purpose in life, and that's to live dedicated to him. And to praise his name and to love him above all. Hallowed be thy name. He's the great king. There's no one like him. He's all surpassing. How great our God is. And then came the next petition. Thy kingdom come. Harden, we look inside. He was, Lord, please. May I live as truly as a citizen of thy kingdom. A worthy citizen of thy kingdom. May I live as thy obedient, a loving child. Thy kingdom come here in my heart, in my existence. Thy kingdom come. And then we realized, and we are still realized, praying this prayer, Thy kingdom come, that we fall short. We aren't obedient in our life. We fall short so often. And therefore, we call out to that God. And we come to him in repentance and we beg him for mercy. Thy kingdom come. It's also promising because we know that his kingdom will come. It is already here, but hidden, revealed in hearts. But it will once be fully seen by everybody. Thy kingdom come. And we are looking forward to that time. And then this prayer, the third prayer, thy will be done. And we ask, Lord, may I live according to thy will. So you see the road we travel when we pray these words. We begin with God the Father. We approach him in his heavenly throne room through Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can enter in that heavenly kingdom and stand before his throne, only in Jesus Christ. He taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and we see his power. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. What a God he is, what a Father he is. And then after seeing his power, we express our hearts and our hunger and thirst to live as obedient child according to his will. Thy will be done. Well, actually, isn't it an open door that his will should be done, right? In the end, it is. He is the Almighty God, the Omnipotent One, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Judge. He will once judge us, so of course we have to live according to his will. It's an open door. We live in the United States, isn't it? And we have a president here and a government, but let's focus on the president. As citizens of the United Kingdom, we must abide by the will of the president. He's the highest authority in this country. We have to abide with his will. So would the same not be much more truer for the all-encompassing and all-transcending kingdom of the Creator of heaven and earth? Of course. But let's set a step further. What does the will of our government, and let's focus on the president, what does the will of the President of the United States look like? And then we will move on to God's will. But let's first focus to get things a little bit more clear on the will of our President. Well, actually, I know I simplify the things a lot, but you could discern two kinds of wills of our President. First of all, there is his executive power. His executive power. He is the one, in the end, he has the end responsibility of making plans for this country to set certain goals, like make America great. That's a goal, right? And also this president, he has certain goals. He determines that, and he sets out a plan. And he outlines what kind of measures will be taken to achieve these goals. Actually, we do not know the full will of our president. We know just the things that he tells publicly. But many things we do not know. They stay there in White House. So this will is not fully revealed to us. Oftentimes, this will is hidden. But this is his executive power. Then there is a second kind of will. And this will, you can see in the many laws he signs and authorizes as president. The Constitution, right? That's the first expression of a very clear law signed by a president of the United States. And there are many more laws. And one thing is clear, the citizens of the United States must abide by all these laws. Right? We must abide by these laws. They are publicly seen, they can publicly be read by everyone. Actually, we are supposed to know them all. I know it's impossible, but actually, as a citizen of the United States, you are supposed to know all these laws and to live by these laws. Because when you don't live by these laws, there are sanctions and punishments. And these laws, they have, you know, an important goal, because they help to achieve his executive power and the things, the goals he set in executive power. Well, that's his will. You could call it his revealed will, or the will of his law. Well, if we move on to God, the highest authority of heaven and earth, things are not that different. Not at all. Actually, you could discern two kinds of will with God. And we often mix them together. I know it is difficult at times to see what kind of will it is, but actually, to make things clear, in theology we discern two wills of God. There is, first of all, the will of God's decrees, his decorative will or sovereign will. These are all words for his will. You could call it his executive power, but it's his will of his decrees. That's how we call it in theology, is decorative of sovereign will. It is his great plan, his counsel, his executive power and plan. Now, let's be honest, that great plan of him, his executive power, is for a large part hidden for us. What we know is what we read in Scripture. But what we know is just what we need to know for salvation, and that's it. What we need to know in order to live as obedient child of him. But that's it. Many things are hidden for us. What we know is what is revealed in his word. That's his sovereign or decreed will. So what do we know of his sovereign or decreed will? Well, we know for what purpose God created heaven and earth, and for what purpose he created us. Right? Namely, to praise his name, to glorify him, to magnify him, to serve him, to be his obedient child. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That's the goal for our life, to live in dedication to him and to praise him continually. And there's no better things to do. We also know, based on Scripture, where things are headed with the kingdom of God, because it is all heading towards new heaven and earth. That's the great, grand goal of his plan, a new heaven and a new earth. On that new heaven and earth will only be righteousness and peace, no more sin, no more misery. Only righteousness and peace. Well, that's the prayer, thy kingdom come. But again, most of this counsel of God, that great plan of his, is unknown to us. Who of us can see into the future and know what's written down in God's books, right? The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, holds in his hand a scroll, and that scroll contains God's plan for the world. But we only know what is revealed in the book of Revelation and in other books. And that's it. It's only part of it. And note, we can oppose God's counsel. He is the Almighty One, and his will is done. But let's be honest. We oppose his will, and we work against him many times, although his will is holy and good. Well, that's his first will. Again, the will of his decrees. But there is also the will of his commands, his decorative will, or his revealed will. It's also how we call it. All kinds of names for that will. It is what he has revealed. It is his holy law. How to live day by day as his child. That's all. That's what's all about his preceptive will. It's all about his commands. And of course we can. We can oppose and disregard God's precepts. But when we walk according to his will, we are blessed by him. When we do not walk according to his will, his holy law, his preceptive will, or his revealed will, we are cursed. So this will, this last one, is known by us. And it is important to live by it. Because when we live by his revealed will, his holy laws, then we are blessed. And when we do not live by his holy laws, then we are cursed. Coming back on the will of his decrees, or his decorative, or sovereign will. He will fulfill whatever he begins. We can try to oppose it. We will not succeed in it. His will happen, always. That will happen. But let us be careful not to want to know more than what God has revealed. Right? His will of his commands, that second will, or perceptive will, or revealed will, his laws, is known to us because we find it in Scripture fully. That's known to us. But that first will, his will of decrees, that's only partially known by us. And let us not be too curious. We read in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things, that's the will of his decrees, his sovereign will. You could call it his executive power, which always will happen. Everything in his executive power, in his decreed will happen. But many things are hidden for us. The secret things, Deuteronomy 29, belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed unto us and our children belong to us forever, that we may do all the words of his law. You see? That's his second will. Or listen to the warning at the end of Scriptures, Revelation 22. I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. What a warning. Not to be too curious. Again, God's decreed will is often, for the most part, hidden for us. We have to deal with his revealed will, that second will. Often people ask, and let's be honest, I asked it many times in my life. Maybe you ask this question. What is God's will for my life? On one hand, it's a beautiful question, because it shows that we are aware that there's a sovereign God and that we have to do the will of God. Lord, what is thy will for my life? But often with this question, right, what we seek is to know what is God's will for the next phase of our life. For example, what kind of education I have to take, what kind of profession I have to do, or whatever. Or even larger, Lord, what is your task for me the rest of my life? That's actually what we often mean to ask with this question, Lord, what is your will? What is your will? But let's be honest. Isn't then we secretly want to look in God's hidden counsel and to know what he has in mind for us in the next phase of our life. It's like we say, Lord, open your will for me. I know it's hidden, but please open it a little bit for me that I may clearly know what I have to do. And although how understandable this question is, isn't it in a way a bit foolish question? Isn't it, to be honest, a bit foolish? If we ask, Lord, what is your will? We have Scriptures. His will is perfectly known, namely, live as my obedient child. And we have the promise when we live according to his holy revealed law, that he will bless us. Well, when he blesses us, will he not guide us and show us the way how to travel and help us on every in every decision we have to take? Of course. Why are we often so bothered about God's will for future life? And we are not bothered with the question, Lord, what is your will now? What is it what I have to do today? In relationship to my sibling, my wife, my husband, my parents, in my work. Help me to live as your obedient child. Oh, it's so important that we hurry to know God's revealed will. And so we come in the second thought, God's revealed will. So again, the question, what is God's revealed will? Well, first of all, as mentioned before, God's revealed will is his will revealed in Scripture. I'll quote three texts. I could quote far more text, but I selected some representative text to make clear for us what God's will is, and that's his revealed will. And when we live according to that revealed will, God promises, then you will have a blessed life. And I will go before you as in that column of cloud and fire when he led his people through the desert. You can be sure of that. He will help you in every decision because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he will help you in every decision and all you need to do. John 6, verse 40. That's the first text I would like to quote. John 6, verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me. Oh. So what is the will of God? Listen. That everyone which seeth the Son, and by the way, you all see the Son. You say, I don't see him. Well, in Scripture, when we open Scripture and you hear the proclamation, you see the Son of God. Okay, again. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. It is his will that we all believe on Jesus Christ. And then comes this rich promise, he will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, the first will of God is that we believe in Jesus Christ because he's God's great gift. In him is God's righteousness. In him we receive the gift of God's righteousness. What a gift. And this is his first will. So again, the question, let's just pause here for a moment. Did you obey this will of God? If not, and we do not believe in Jesus Christ, we are cursed and not blessed. And indeed, you do not live according to the will of God, and you go through life as a blind man. That's right. That's the consequence of it. A second text I would like to quote about the revealed will of God. 1 John 3, verse 23. 1 John 3, verse 23. And this is the commandment. The will of God, right? A commandment is the will of God. That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's a repetition of the first quote, but now it comes. And love one another. As he gave us commandment when we believe in Jesus Christ. In other words, when we love the triune God above all, then the next commandment from the Lord is love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pause again here for a moment. Do we fulfill and live according to this revealed will of God when there is hatred or indifference for our neighbor? We do not live up according to the will of God. So we are under his threat and under his curse. Because there are sanctions on not living according to the revealed will of God. Now a third quote about the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. And now it comes so close to all of it. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You see? Let us bother with this will of God. His first will is that we repent and flee to his Son, Jesus Christ. That we grab him and follow him. That's his first will, as a beggar. His second will is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. And his third will is that we live holy. That thy name may be hallowed, right? Thy name be hallowed, be made holy, that we live sanctified, holy, that we are transparent in righteousness, that we keep ourselves pure and clean, and that we not mix with the unrighteousness and the unholiness which we find in the world. Well, that's his will. Confess your sins and your shortcomings. Accept the great gift of the Lord. Cry out, call out, Lord, help me and give me the gift of thy Spirit, that I may indeed believe in Jesus Christ, your Son. And his second, that not only we love God, but because he loved us so much, therefore we love him, that we also begin to love our neighbor. And then thirdly, that we have a holy life. In other words, we could summarize it with this. God's will is that faith works through love, right? That's how we could summarize these quotes. God's will is that faith, right? We all should believe in Christ, that faith works through love. And by doing this, we are worthy citizens of the kingdom of God. And it listens. Oh, listen to Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. We all say at times, Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, Lord, reveal your will. We all say this at times. Well, Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven. And we just heard what the will is of the Heavenly Father because we heard three quotations of Scripture. But please note the sequence. It's so important. It is first faith in the Son of God. And only then sanctification. Only then. Let's not reverse the order, because then it becomes legalism. And then we go to work ourselves. And then we are deeply preoccupied. In the end, we're doing our own will, and our own will is tainted with sins. And then we work, in the end, against God. That's legalism. With legalism, we bring ourselves. And when we bring ourselves, we bring sinfulness. And when we bring sinfulness, we bring sinful deeds to God. And God cannot accept these sinful deeds. God's law declares us guilty, guilty. We heard it this morning, but God's law declares us guilty. And it brings us to our knees, and it makes us confess our sin and guilt. That's the role of God's law, the first role of God's law. God's law wants to draw us to Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Mediator, to find our life in him, and to see that he bore God's punishment on our sin. That he took away the guilt of our sin. God's law demands faith in Jesus Christ, God's great gift of righteousness, his righteousness. Faith, believe in Jesus Christ. This is the first commandment of the Word of God. You know, and when our eyes are opened for our sins and Jesus Christ, it's only by the Holy Spirit. He opens our eyes. And as soon as he comes and enters into our life, he writes in the chambers of our heart, here on the walls of our heart, God's revealed will. The will for all of us. And by the way, again, that will is clear for us. Perfectly clear. God's revealed will. You see it already in creation. Because creation, Romans 1, shows his strength and his power. That he is the sovereign one, that he rules over all, that his wisdom is endless. You can all see all of that in nature. But he reveals his will more complete and most complete in his word. Here he reveals his law. And he reveals what he wants us to know about his counsel, his will of decrees. Only what he wants us to know. And he reveals himself and his will in his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was exalted on the cross so that everyone can see him clearly. So the cross, Calvary's cross, shows God's will. That cross is the center of fallen creation. It is that we bow down before him, that we believe in him, and that we follow him. Therefore, that cross. And God reveals his will through his Holy Spirit. He's the one who changes the heart. He is the one who inscribes God's revealed will in the walls of our heart. Well, none of us can say that we do not know the will of God. None of us. Again, first of all, we see at least parts of his will in nature. We see it in his word. We see it in Jesus Christ, God's great gift. And the Holy Spirit opens the eyes for it. But how little, let's be honest, do we do God's will? How guilty we all are. How guilty. The question here is, who is Jesus Christ for us? Doing God's will begins with turning to Jesus Christ and finding our life and righteousness in him. And then we live under God's blessings hands. Well, before we move on to the third thought, let us sing a Psalter. Psalter 332. 332. And we'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4. That's Psalm 119, Psalter 332, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. The practice of doing God's will, the last thought, the practice of life. Let's first focus on the broad sense of doing God's will. And this raises a question, because why do we still see so relative little of carrying out God's will on earth? Why do we see so little, even in our own lives? But first of all, let's focus on the broad world around us. Why do we still see so little about God's kingdom? Why is God's name so little sanctified here on earth? Why is God still so little known as Heavenly Father here in the world around us? Well, there are at least two answers here. Of course, far more, but I would like to give two answers to this question. First of all, there is a great adversary. There is a great adversary, and he's going around as a roaring lion. He doesn't have entrance anymore in heaven. He's thrown out of heaven. That what we clearly read in Revelation. But he has so much power here on earth. Still, but he is powerful. Once in paradise, our will was subordinate to God's will. How beautiful it was there. Paradise was a place of righteousness because our will, again, was subordinate to God's will. But we fell in sin. It was our own willful choice. And since then, this is the tragedy. Since then, how tragic. We all are subordinate to the will of God's adversary because we listened to him. We gave him an entrance into our heart, our soul, our mind, our will, our conscience even. And our will became subordinate to Satan's will. And since then, there are two empires, two kingdoms, two wills. Since then, there is a state of war. And Satan will do anything to ensure that God's name is not sanctified, that his kingdom will not come. He will thwart God's kingdom wherever and whenever possible. He will see to it that God's will is not carried out, but his will. And he has so much power. We are powerless in our own strength against Satan. So this is one answer on the question, why do we see so little of God's will? If he is almighty, and if the will of his decree happens, why do we see so little? Well, we made ourselves subordinate to Satan's will. And he is the king here on earth. There you have at least part of the answer. But there is another side of the coin. Satan can do no more than God allows him to do. God is the one in the end in control. His executive power decisions will always be done. God rules and has all power in heaven and on earth. And despite what we see, things are moving in the right direction. That's what we learn especially from the book of Revelation. Because there you have that question. Why are there so many afflictions and tribulation? Why is there so much grief and sorrow? If Lord, you are the Almighty One, your will be done, right? His will of decrees, if that will be done, why? Why? And then it shows us clearly that God is indeed in command And his will be done, that will of decrees. And it all goes toward his second coming of his son. Despite what we see, there is this knowing that everything that happens is according to God's counsel. And indeed, that we remain with many questions. But his will be done in heaven and on earth. You know, in heaven, his will is perfectly done. Both his will of decrees, that's always done, but also his will of command, his holy laws in heaven. There are his angels, his holy angels, doing perfectly that second will of him, the will of his commands, his revealed will. And the same thing for those who have gone before us and are in heaven. They will do perfectly God's will. Here we are still in that state of war. Well, that's about the great picture. And where is God's will? Why do we see so little of him and his will? Well, it's at least partially an answer. But then, the practice of God's will in the circle of our own personal and private life, and the life of God's child. The one who believes in Jesus Christ, the one who really at least is hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness, the one who truly wants to love his neighbor, the one who has, you know, at least the willingness and wants to live holy and sanctified. He, well, we hear Paul say, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Romans 7, verse 19, that famous text. There you have a child of God, a born again. The Holy Spirit is on one hand working in the heart, and the law of love is inscribed on the walls of Paul's heart and every child of God. And yet there is this complaint. It is running up against not doing, not being able to, profoundly not wanting. There's a constant struggle. And the Bible is full of examples of that struggle, that spiritual struggle. Lord, I want to do your will, but I don't find it in my daily life. Or at least often I don't find it. Jacob. Do you see that spiritual struggle with all his deceptions? In the life of Samson with all his weaknesses. You see it in the despair and unbelief of Elijah. You see it in the passions of David. You see it in the passions of Peter. And hopefully we recognize it in our own life. But don't forget, there is life now. At one hand is already, and it is also not yet. On one hand, there is the dying old man. And the dying old man is still subject to Satan's will, subordinate to Satan's will. But there is also the new man. The man that rises with Christ and daily rises with him. And he is subordinate to God's will, dependent on God, loving God. But there is also the world and there is Satan. So what is the way in all of this, this spiritual struggle? It's the way of self-denial. Doing God's will is a way of self-denial, because it is a way of killing, mortifying our own will. And we daily have to mortify our own will. Looking to Christ, knowing that when he died at Calvary's cross, I died at Calvary's cross, and my old man died. So that's where we receive our strength, in looking to Christ, hanging there on the cross of Calvary. It's a way of self-denial. That's the way of doing God's will. And on the other hand, Right? It is receiving the Holy Spirit and living out of the Holy Spirit, living as that man that rose up with Christ on the third day. It is a way of self-denial. It is a way of bearing our cross daily and following Christ, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. That's doing God's will. The way of self-denial is renouncing our own will and looking to Christ, going after him, and in and through him, gaining the victory, in and through him. Well, and in this struggle in life, with so many questions, we pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Sometimes with a great sigh, sometimes in despair, sometimes with many questions, we ask, we pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But let's not forget that this prayer is preceded by the petition, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name, that I may see you as the most holy and powerful God. Let's not forget that this prayer is preceded by the petition, thy kingdom come. And that's a reality. It is a promise. His kingdom will come and it will break through. And then only we pray, thy will be done. There's first this focus on God, the Heavenly Father in Christ, and his omnipotent power, he as the Almighty One and the Merciful One, and his kingdom that will come, and that his will indeed be done. And we ask, Lord, make us an obedient child of yours and your kingdom. In other words, when we pray, our Father which art in heaven, we first look up to heaven, to that great King who in his Son is indeed a merciful God and a benevolent Father. A Father who knows what awaits from his making. And only then we ask, thy will be done. But this prayer, this Lord's prayer, wants first of all to focus on God's power, his faithfulness, his mercy, and his love, and to draw out of that source strength through the Spirit. And so we pray, thy will be done, thy will be done. And in the struggle and the strife and trouble of this life, and in all the imperfections we have in life, and the many questions, we may know, thy will be done. It's also a promise. Thy will be done. It's a promise. Everything will go according to his plan. Right there you have his decreed will. It will go according to his plan. Even if we are disobedient towards the will of his command, then still it will go according to his plan. His executive power, the will of his decrees. What a comfort that is. And we know that he will provide for his children, for all who call on his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, he will provide. He will provide. Certainly, surely, thy will be done. Let's read Lord's Day 10. It expresses these things so beautifully, Lord's Day 10. God's providence, that is his will. Largely hidden from us, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Thy will be done. Thy will be. In conclusion, there is an appeal to all of us. Thy will be done. Do we believe in Jesus Christ? Did we flee to him? And again flee to him, and again every day in repentance? Do we hold on him? Is there this loving of our neighbor? The sanctification. your will be done? Or is it in our life still, our will be done? And we neglect God's will, or we even go against God's will. If that is the case, that it's still in your life, my will be done, or we neglect God's will, know this, that one day you will meet the Supreme King. And then you will see that you are under his everlasting curse. And there is no time anymore for repentance. We still are in the time of grace. Please, turn to the Lord in repentance and believe on Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, thy will be done. What a comfort it is to know that thy will indeed will be done. That everything goes according to thy plan, thy decreed will. Thou hast set thy course clearly. Thy Son will come back on the clouds of heaven. There will be a new heaven and earth. With great certainty, is that what we know? Thy Son will return on the clouds of heaven. There will be a new earth and a new heaven. But Lord, in the meantime, we are here in this spiritual struggle, because when we pray, thy will be done, we know that there is still this old man and this old nature that is subordinate to Satan's will. Oh Lord, please, that we, with the help of thy Holy Spirit, may mortify and kill this old man. That we will live, will abide in thy Son, abide in his word. Oh Lord, please help us through thy Holy Spirit. Open our eyes for our depravity, but far more, open our eyes for Jesus Christ, that we all may come to faith in him. Lord, help us to pray, thy will be done. Go with us this week. Thou knowest what awaits us. Lord, we ask thee to go before us and help us in doing thy will. All this in the name of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 236, 236, that's Psalm 86. Stanzas 1 and 2. Psalter 236, stanzas 1 and 2. Lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.